This is from the European Parliament. It was November of last year, and the speaker is talking about the Social Action Programme 1998-2000. Mr. President, I would like to thank the Commissioner for his cooperation and that of his services for the way in which members of this Parliament, and more specifically the members of the Committee on Employment and Social Affairs, have been given an opportunity to help shape the content of this new social action programme. The explanatory statement in my report sets out the timetable and describes how the coordinators of the committee were able on a number of occasions through late 1997 and early 1998 to meet representatives of the Commissioner's Cabinet and officials of Directorate General 5 to discuss the content of the programme and assist me in drawing up a working document setting out what we thought should be included. The exercise is a good model for collaboration between our two institutions, and it is not surprising that it has led to the production of a Commission communication with which I am broadly satisfied. The degree of similarity between the communication and our working document is detailed in the annex to the report. There are, however, a few points of difference, matters either missing from the communication or, in our opinion, inadequately covered. Three, in my view, are of particular importance. The first concerns civil dialogue. We called for a communication on the future of civil dialogue as an ongoing process, but the communication gives the impression that it will continue to consist of little more than the biannual social policy forums. The second concerns our call for a framework instrument on social protection to make use of the new possibilities from Article 137 of the Amsterdam Treaty. We feel that action in this area is highly fragmented, at best piecemeal. That call is not adequately answered. The third concerns the need to start preparatory work on an anti-discrimination action programme based on Article 13 of the Amsterdam Treaty and a new social inclusion programme based on Article 137, so that proposals can be put forward immediately following the ratification of the Amsterdam Treaty next spring. This is not specifically covered in the Commission's communication, and what references there are seem to be too specifically related to labour market integration. I said in my explanatory statement that if the Commissioner can give us assurances on these points, I would recommend acceptance of the Social Action Programme. It seems to me that work inside the Commission has progressed on these points, especially as regards civil dialogue and anticipated programmes on discrimination and social exclusion, and I hope that the Commissioner can give us these assurances. Beyond these major concerns, there are a number of specific items, more in the nature of unfinished business, which I hope the Commission will be willing to take on board. Some follow on from earlier commitments from the Commission, such as the proposal on home working, one on sexual harassment, and another on the need for the completion of the legislative framework for equal treatment between men and women in social security schemes. One union is sufficiently concerned about staffing reductions in the health and safety unit to have sent a draft directive which I will hand to you after the debate. In conclusion, I am pleased with the Commission's communication. In drafting the working document earlier this year, I was looking for an action programme which would present a more holistic and political view than the simple checklists of the past, one that would take account of the new possibilities from Amsterdam and the role to be played by social dialogue.